Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church. We are happy that you are here for our Mother's Day service.
We gather today to worship our loving, nurturing God, who, like a mother, loves us, teaches us the way that we should go, and comforts us in a time of need. Let us pray. Dear God, today we are thankful for our mothers and for the women in our lives. Mothers help care for us, encourage us, and love us, just like our Heavenly Father. Mothers teach us to love one another by showing us unconditional love. Amen.
Let us bow our heads and confess our sins. Dear God, in this time of prayer, we thank you for your love. We thank you that we are your children and that you loved us before we were born. Today we give thanks for our families, remembering especially our mothers, grandmothers, and those who care for us and meet our needs. Forgive us when we disobey and we don't listen to your word. Help us to remember that you will always provide for us.
A mother's love is like God's love. We always get a second chance for forgiveness. Knowing that Jesus rose from the dead and has conquered sin and death, he offers forgiveness to all who believe in him. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
God has given us so much. Let us give back a portion of what he has abundantly blessed us with.
Dear God, our Father, today we gather to thank you for all the gifts you have abundantly given us. Thank you for all the love and support you have provided us with. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we thank you for those who have nurtured and cared for us and those that have laughed and cried with us. We lift up before you, God, those who are hurt or suffering or lacking basic needs. Touch us with your healing ways so you can help us love others in the way you taught us to love. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The word of the Lord. How a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months.
When she could not hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him.
The daughter of the Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. This must be one of the Hebrews' children, she said.
Then his sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew room woman to nurse the child for you?" The Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child mother.
Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you her wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Thanks to be God.
You did a good job, right? So We had them learning that story for the last couple of weeks so that they could actually recite it just from memory. But then we decided, well, let's do a test of that, and it didn't really go perfectly, so we thought they would read it. But we taped their pretending, their reenacting of it, so let's watch that too.
Thank you. people of Israel moved to Egypt because there was no food.
Because the Egyptians took the Israel people to be slaves so that they wouldn't grow to be strong, and if they fought against them in a war, they would be in a lot of trouble because they have so many people. So they took them as slaves to slow them down at making babies.
The king said they have to stop.
And more people started getting more babies, and the people and the king didn't want that many people, and he went to the people who help the pregnant woman give their babies, and he said, "Look, if a woman has a boy, kill it. But if they have a girl, let it live."
The nurses didn't do what he said because they thought that God would be sad.
So they didn't do that, and they were, and then when the king was like, "Wait, what's happening?"
They said that the babies were coming out too fast, and we were too slow to get there.
And then there was this one person who had a boy that hid their baby for 3 months. And then couldn't hide them anymore. So
put them in a basket with tar on it so it could float, and it put it in the river. And the baby sister was watching, and then
the Pharaoh's daughter found the baby, and she said that she was gonna take care of the baby.
Baby sister said, "Hey, do you need me to find someone who can nurse the baby?" And she said, "Yes." And she took, and she found the mom, and then the mom, she told the mom to take care of the baby, and she said she'd pay her to take care of the baby.
Scattered throughout the Bible are stories of mothers making a difference. One such mother was the mother of Moses. Her name was Jochebed. Moses was born during a time of enslavement under the rule of a Pharaoh who tried to eliminate the numerous Israelites by ordering the midwives to kill all male Hebrew babies at childbirth. When Pharaoh's plan was thwarted by God-fearing midwives, he ordered that every Hebrew boy born be thrown into the Nile River. Moses' biological mother, Jochebed, trusted in God and defied Pharaoh's orders by hiding her baby for as long as she could. But when he was around 3 months old, she wove a protective basket for him and placed him in there before placing the basket in the riverbank. One can only imagine her inner turmoil as she did that, realizing that her son had a better chance of surviving in a tar-coated basket in the Nile than with her, where he would have likely been discovered by authorities and killed. Think for a moment about the care that Jochebed took in making Moses' basket. She wove reeds together and coated the basket in tar. This process surely took a while, as weaving reeds is no simple task, and tar takes time to harden. The next basket was meant to protect Moses from crocodiles and was just the right weight and material for it to drift to the exact place where it would catch the eye of Pharaoh's daughter. The result of her work was the man Moses. The true mother lives again in her son, not just in Jochebed's son, but all the sons of caring mothers. There's the answer to a mother's prayer. There is the result of a mother's watchfulness. Moses, like all of us, might never have been the man he was had it not been for a loving mother like Jochebed.
My mom is great.
All right,
right, so first off, it's Mother's Day, so I'm gonna take this as a bit of an excuse to praise my mom for a second. She's great. When I was freaking out, she helped me write this sermon. And she didn't help me write it. She gave me materials that helped me write it, and she gave me a few ideas, and that was great. I mean, we were just sitting at a Ram's Horn at 11:45 last night. And I hadn't written a word. Now I've written about 20 words and some bullet points. So when I read this passage, the first thing that sticks out at me is, of course, that Moses' mother would do anything to save her son. Moses' mother gave up her son so he would live. And that's incredibly powerful. And you have to think about it, that she didn't know what was going to happen. And it was get your son killed or get a 50% chance that your son's going to die. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, when you put your son in a basket and put him in a river, you don't know what's going to happen after that. And I don't know, I guess there's no handbook that covers how to save a baby from an army of angry people trying to kill him. So, I mean, it took a lot of faith. It took a lot of belief to give up your son without knowing what's going to happen. And I think that's the biggest part, that I know that my mother would do anything if she has faith and that if she believes that it's the right thing to do for me, even if I don't like it at the time, even if other people don't like it at the time, if she believes it's the right thing to do, she's going to do it. And that's what true love is for me, that you do anything for the other person. Motherly love is sacrificing things, sacrificing your life, sacrificing everything that you had before. So in this case, however drastic this may be, to save your baby's life. So that's what stood out at me when I read this passage, is faith, believing that your son will be okay.
Thank you, guys.
Let us stand and affirm our faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried, descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. Sitting in the right hand of God, Father Almighty, from hence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
As we leave this service, remember God's love, like our mother's love, and spread that love into the world.
Go into your week knowing that you are embraced by the love of God, a love that is sweeter and more tender than any you have ever known.
Amen.